This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:48 in the morning. It's Wednesday, the 3rd of March. And staying on the topic of COVID-19 vaccinations is the question about Sarawak, because their vaccination program is underway and it's hoping to get 70% of its population vaccinated, and that's 2.2 million of its people, including foreign workers.
The state is ambitiously aiming to complete all of its three phases by August this year. That's about 5 months ahead of the national vaccination plan. So while that's being rolled out according to the plan, one matter that's up in the air is that of the state's general election. The state assembly's term ends on June 6th, but elections can't be called yet because the country is currently under a state of emergency. Where does this leave the Sarawak State Assembly and its state elections?
So weighing in on this, is Dato' Sri Alexander Natalinggi, who is the Minister for Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs and also Gabungan Parti Sarawak Secretary General. Now, thank you for making the time to join us this morning, YB. Now, I think the first question, how are the state and federal governments coordinating their efforts when it comes to the vaccination program?
Well, I understand that the federal government, through the Ministry of Health Malaysia, is coordinating the program under the NIP, that's a National Immunization Program, throughout the country. Yeah, that includes Sarawak and Sabah. So there may be some peculiarities, I think, with some states. For instance, for Sarawak itself, for the fact that Sarawak is a very big state geographically, so much populations are also all over the place in the remote areas are still facing the difficulties in their mobility, and that is getting to hospitals and clinics for their vaccinations. However, I know that Sarawak government is very proactively helping the Ministry of Health Malaysia in facilitating the immunization program. So I'm quite confident it will be quite smooth also in Sarawak. There's a very close working relationship, and Sarawak have the means to assist. For instance, I don't know whether they're going to actually use it, but we have the state helicopter service to reach out to the remote areas if necessary.
Dr. Sim Kui Han, the Sarawak Housing and Local Government Minister, said borders won't be reopened anytime soon, even to those who have been vaccinated as a precautionary measure. Is that a wise move, considering local businesses have said they wouldn't be able to withstand another year of closure?
Well, I believe that the Sarawak State Government know and decide on what they think is best for them. So to me, let's not be too rushed in the opening up the borders. Yeah, we know the threat. It would be wise to be cautionary and careful because we are duty-bound to protect the lives of the people. We want businesses to be able to sustain and also make sure that employment would not be jeopardized. If we cannot manage and stop the spread of COVID-19, then businesses would be of no meaning too. So it is really a balance. So I would say that we protect life first, and then at the same time also, we will enable business to carry on as usual. So opening up borders is another thing, you see, because our neighbors, they have different ways of containing the disease. So if we open our borders, let's say with Kalimantan for that matter, it's a different thing. If we open our borders to countries like Singapore to come in, you know, that's maybe all right because they have a high standard of containing the COVID-19 in their own country. So it is not one-size-fits-all kind of an approach when we open up a border. We have to be selective.
YB, moving on to politics, right? With the country's vaccination program now in progress, and Parliament expected to be reconvened soon, do you think we'll see GE15 taking place rather soon then?
The Prime Minister has said it very clearly that he will call for a general election when we feel that the effort to control COVID-19 is successful. That is when the incidences of the new cases of COVID-19 on a daily basis can be brought down to very much lower level than it is now. So whether or not the parliament is to be convened soon is not really the consideration as far as I look at it. However, I think that the Prime Minister will stick to his wait-and-see situation of the COVID-19 after the end of the emergency on the 1st of August. I think not really before that. If you ask me whether Parliament should convene, I don't mind the Parliament to convene. But to think that as soon as it can convene, then let's call for the election. Then I would say, look, let's think about lives. Are we confident enough that the election will not cause further worsening situation of COVID? So we have to think about that.
So if state elections get delayed due to the emergency declaration, will the state assembly be allowed to carry on despite its term ending on June 6?
Well, I think there's legal technicalities involved there, whether it can be allowed to continue or not because of the emergency that we are now in. Even though the emergency is for the purpose of fighting off COVID-19, but nonetheless, it's emergency that suspends Parliament as well as suspending the State Legislative Assembly. Yeah, you're right. The end of the term for the State Legislative Assembly for Sarawak would be about in June. But there is, I heard, of technicalities where the new government can be formed maybe about another 6 days after that. There will be sometimes in August. So whether the state elections in Sarawak will be simultaneous with the federal elections, I do not know, yeah? But if you ask me, would I like it to be simultaneous? I don't mind, because it would probably be good in the sense that you do one general election for the entire nation. One is saving some resources. At the same time that we do it once and for all, rather than if we have at the different times, then we may also open up the risk of going through the election like we saw in Sabah. I think let's have it once. If can be done, I would support that.
Now, with the constant battering the federal government has been receiving, I mean, where does Gabungan Parti Sarawak, or GPS, stand in its support of Perikatan Nasional and Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin?
All right, I'll give you a long answer to that one. We were in the opposition to the Harapan government, yet we supported the then Prime Minister from the Harapan, Tun Mahathir. We wanted him to stay as the Prime Minister so that the country can go on as stable in political aspects of the country. But that goes to show that we in GPS, we are not over-politicking. We would want a country to be stable. As an opposition, we were still able to support the Prime Minister of the day at that time, Tun Mahathir, when he was still the Harapan leader, because we wanted the Harapan government to carry on. Well, as we all know, what happened? They broke up. They couldn't stay together. In the end, Tan Sri Muhyiddin was given the opportunity. And we thought we stick to our principles. Our principle was to make sure the federal government is stable. So we lend our support to Tan Sri Muhyiddin when he formed the government. And we know that if a federal government is stable, Sarawak can work together, it will be good for the nation, it will be good for us in Sarawak. So we are based on our principle that we will support a federal government that can rule and can administer the nation on a stable basis.
In the event the Perikatan Alliance breaks down and Bersatu loses its majority, how will it affect GPS and what options might the party explore? Would it work directly with UMNO?
Yeah, anything can happen when the next election comes. So my personal view for the time being is that GPS will continue to subscribe to working with others to ensure that the federal government is strong and stable to administer our nation. Well, nothing wrong to work together with UMNO or with any other parties. Even DAP recently, if not still harboring the idea of working together with UMNO to replace Tan Sri Muhyiddin's PN government. So as long as we are able to form a government that can bring a stable administration and meaningful administration to this beloved country of ours, that is most important. I tell you what, my friend, we Sarawakians, we are amazed that over-politicking by our brethren or our friends over here in Malaya. You know, for us in GPS, we just want to get going to administer our state and to bring development and to make a proper progress for the people. We know that we are behind in our development, so we are focusing on development. There has been too much politicking in this country, I can tell you. I am rather blunt here, you know. It is common to hear in Sarawak sometimes that let's not have the West Malaysian political culture. Hati-hati jangan budaya politik orang Melayu. Don't blame us. Don't blame us, you know, because we are not exposed. We are never really used to that kind of excessive politicking among ourselves, even though, of course, in the past, we did have time when there were opposition, strong opposition, but not to the extent of what is happening in Malaya. We just feel that what is happening here is alien to us and we don't want to be part of that, really.
Thank you for your time. That was Datuk Sri Alexander Natalingi, Minister of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs and Gabungan Parti Sarawak Secretary General, giving us his views on the current state of politics in Malaysia. But we're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin, and after that we have the breakfast grill where Philip will be speaking with the CEO of Carex. That's going to be happening in a few minutes, so stay tuned for that. But before that, in times of uncertainty, you need your connectivity provider to be many things. It needs to be agile, flexible, cost-efficient, and to be future-proof. The Maxis Programmable Network is all those things and more. Tune in as we speak to Paul McManus, the Chief Enterprise Business Officer at Maxis, to find out exactly what is the Maxis Programmable Network is and why it's the best network for business. Tune in tomorrow at 7:35 a.m. only on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.